Hey there, Hoops fans. As I was looking at my computer, it's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. I was distracted by some breaking news, which we'll get to in a second. First, let me say hi to my co-hosts here, starting with Jeff Johnson. How you doing, Jeff?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good because I only had one cocktail yesterday. So there was no hangover. I don't know when's the last time I've had a hangover. It's been a while. It's been a hot minute. Sean, when's the last time you've had a hangover? Hello, Sean.
Hello. It's been a while also. There are days I've gotten up and felt a little sluggish, but like classic hangover, pounding, headache, don't want to get out of bed, whatever. That's been years.
Years?
Years.
Jeff, has it been years for you?
For a hangover? Yeah, I don't think I've had a hangover in a minute. I've come close, but you know, still I rise. So, but yeah, I'm talking about, I remember hangovers. I haven't had one of those in a minute, in a long time.
Yeah.
To give you a sense, I should have probably had 15 during lockdown in 2020 and I had zero. So
that's really impressive. Really, that is. Now that I think about it, I don't think I've had a hangover since I had my second kid, and my second kid just turned 5 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. After one too many times, every one of us has a time where like, you know what? I can't keep doing this. And then you learn to, like, I remember the day I said, you know what? This has to change.
You know, so. You know who told me I can't keep doing this? My liver.
talk about it.
All right, we're going to skip the takeoff today because we did get some breaking news literally as we were going live, which I mean, I don't know how breaking this is, but I'll put it up on the screen. So NBA teams were just notified that the Hornets have agreed to send a 2026 second round pick to Miami as extra compensation for the Terry Rozier trade in January 2024. Unsaid here is that the Hornets were penalized because maybe they knew some stuff that they didn't say they knew when they agreed to send Terry Rozier to the Miami Heat about 2 years ago. Is there any there with this? Is this a story? Should we talk about this?
If I'm a Heat fan, I'm annoyed because they haven't been able to see. The bigger issue for me is that if I'm a Heat fan, is that I haven't been able to trade. Like, you won't tell me if I can trade this guy or not. And now, after the trade deadline comes, then it's like, all right, here's the extra pick. It's like, great, thank you. Can I trade? Well, I can't trade him now.
Obviously.
Well, or so then fast forward to the summer. Can I trade him in the summer? Like, I have this. What's he making? What's he on? Like 24? I have this salary spot burning a hole.
He's making a lot of money and he's not a playable player. I don't think it's that they can't trade him. I just think there was a uncertainty about like whether the contract might get wiped or anything. To me, this is just like, if there is a penalty of some kind, it means the Hornets did something wrong.
Yes.
Right? Am I misreading the situation?
No, the Hornets, that's basically saying the Hornets kind of knew the league knows when the investigation started. We don't, but
okay,
the rumblings, they know. So then to Miami's beef is like, you guys knew that there was something going on. And you're just like, oh, here you go. He passed the physical.
And so if I'm a Heat fan, I'm really pissed today because I should, like, why am I only getting a second round pick if the Hornets knew? So Jeff, what am I missing here?
Yeah, that to me is like a tell that it's almost like the NBA's my fault to the Heat. And we still don't know if Rozier will be able to play out his contract.
He's expiring, by the way. He is expiring. I just looked it up. That was a bad job.
So, yeah, this is probably a way to give them some type of compensation, knowing that they have this money on their books that they couldn't do anything with, right? Yeah. Because you think about all the dominoes that were going down with the Giannis smoke and all these other trades. Maybe if they had his salary slot, they could have made something else shake during the trade deadline. So now that they haven't, you get this second round pick. I will say, though, if the NBA had rumblings that Terry Rozier was in some type of investigation, and this was prior to the Hornets trading Rozier.
Yeah.
And they still allowed the trade to go through, that's not on the Hornets. That's not on the Hornets.
That's also a horrible look for the league.
That if that's what happened and they traded him and then all this stuff drops and the league says to the Hornets, yo, y'all got to give him a second round pick. You know, that was kind of crazy. Like, they need to get compensated. And it's like, well, but,
hold on.
How many times there was lemon laws in the league?
We know.
Yes, I mean, the real lemon law is if you fail your physical. But yeah. Past that, how many sketchy background folks got traded in the league? And
there
Pat Riley got shooters. I know he should have had heard some rumblings. He should have heard the same rumblings. You tell me they're completely blindsided?
This is a bad job by everybody. Whole thing is not a good look for the league. It really is not. No wonder Adam Silver's going to redo the tanking thing because it takes attention off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to give out we're not giving out Oscars today. I'm going to associate some NBA teams with Oscar movies, and then I'm going to get you guys' reaction. I only had one takeoff take today, which is that for the first time all year, I was genuinely annoyed at the coverage of the Knicks today. I usually skirt past this stuff. And I'm like, and it hit me today. Every other contender, nominal contender, has taken their turn getting glazed by the media. Like Spurs, Thunder, Pistons, Celtics now with the Tatum thing, Cavs since the Harden trade, Rockets early on, Denver constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose one like game against the Lakers in which we shot, 21, 24%, whatever the hell it was. It's like, another bad loss for the Knicks.
Yeah, I listened to Bill Simmons this morning. It's like, every time you want to trust them, then this happens. It's like, what happened? Like, what happened?
They didn't make shots and they turned it over a bunch.
It's your cigarettes.
But then again, it's like they should, you know, it's all they lost to the Lakers without Bron. It's like, all right. Did you see that? Has there been any stories about the Knicks being on a 2-day bender before they played LA? Because, you know, that's why the Spurs lost in New York last week, because, you know, you're in New York on a Saturday night, you know, you just do cocaine all night and then you just can't, and then you're screwed the next day. That's what I was told. Like, it couldn't have been that the Knicks played well. Yeah. It couldn't have been that the Knicks played well. Is that all the Spurs? Honestly, now I listened to Zach Lowe this morning saying, like, he believed after Christmas, he was like, oh, no, I believe the Spurs going to title. And I'm like, what team goes from I've never made the playoffs to winning the championship?
Victor Wembanyama on it.
Well, can Victor Wembanyama win two playoff series?
So, you know what? This is actually a perfect opportunity to transition into today's segment, because we're going to actually start with a Spurs-related thing. So, as people who have listened to me for a long time know, I'm something of a movie obsessive. Oscars are coming up this Sunday. This is the last show we're going to do before the Oscars. Jeff, I know you are not a huge movie guy. I haven't seen a ton of movies this year. Sean, have you gotten out of the movies a lot this year?
Nope.
Okay. So this is going to be... I was aware of this, but I'm still doing this because
my ear to the street. I see the hat, by the way. Nice choice of hat.
So this hat I bought at the Academy Museum back when I was in Los Angeles a year and a half ago. And it's a little Godfather, like the hand with the strings and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, if you guys ever go to LA, even if you're not movie buffs, like the Academy Museum is very cool. I would strongly recommend going.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going through. So here's what we're doing today. I'm going to pair up various NBA teams with various Oscar-nominated movies. That's the only caveat. You had to have been nominated for an Oscar to qualify for this. But there's a lot of movies that are nominated for Oscars that you probably wouldn't think are nominated for Oscars, because there's a lot of below-the-line categories and whatnot. But we're going to start with a movie that, if you... Please tell me one of you has seen Sinners.
Oh yeah,
that's what's in this. Yeah, that's what's in this.
Okay, so all right, great. So we could start with a robust discussion.
And I'll probably watch one battle after another before the Oscars. I have 25 hours of time.
Strong recommend. 1, 2. It's 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Nice.
Listen,
I've heard a lot of discourse around it. I want to watch it for my.
Yeah, same here.
Well earned discourse. There's a lot to chew on with that movie. So we're starting off with Sinners because it's the movie that is, I would say, the most notable movie of the year. I don't know if the best movie of the year, it's the most notable movie of the year. And I'm giving my association for Sinners to Sean, the team you just mentioned, which is the San Antonio Spurs. Because I think this was when it was announced that Michael B. Jordan was going to be playing twins in a Ryan Coogler directed vampire musical. Everybody was like, wow, that sounds fun as hell, which is what this San Antonio Spurs season was supposed to be. It was just supposed to be a fun as hell season featuring Victor Wembanyama, a bunch of kids, guards, fun, the whole thing. And then they fucked around and kind of made a masterpiece, and now it might win Best Picture to back up being nominated for more Oscars than any team in history. And Sean, you just said if the Spurs won the title this year, it would be unprecedented, right?
Yes, absolutely.
For a variety of reasons, we could say the same thing about Sinners. It's a genre picture about vampires, a black director starring a black man playing two twins. Like, we've never seen a musical vampire movie. Like, we've never seen anything remotely like this. And it came from a movie that, again, was a fun summer movie. And now we're here talking about it. Is it going to upset, you know, this Paul Thomas Anderson masterpiece?
So I would say
if you want to throw a different comp out there, feel
no, 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 it's not a comp. It's like, the Sinners would be a better, the better comp would have been Creed, except Creed gets nominated for 16 awards. Because I say
except Creed didn't get nominated for 16 awards.
And you know why? Because Creed was Ryan Coogler's second movie ever directed. The first one being Fruitvale.
Yes.
Both of them with Michael B. Jordan. Yes. So, obviously, Sinners is not, I mean, Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan have worked together on plenty of films. Obviously, you know, Black Panther.
Oh, he's his Robert De Niro.
Yeah. You know? So that's why I see where you're going with this. But again, I'm just stuck on like the very first time these kids, and yes, I'm including Wembanyama as one of the kids.
He's a kid. He's 24.
Are going to be down. It's going to be game four. In the second round, they're down 2-1 because this team is like, because Victor keeps taking threes, which I always say is a win every time the 7'6" guy takes a three, right? And, oh, Stephon Castle, they'll leave you wide ass open. And I'm not hitting anything. What am I going to do? Like, all those things just going to like pop up and they're not going to be able to deal with them. But I see where you're going with the comp. And you're right. Like, Sinners was I'd already heard good things about it. I saw it in the theater in 70 millimeter IMAX or whatever.
As did I.
And the takeaway from it was like, oh, this movie was far better than I thought. Like, however good I thought this movie was, it's better than that.
And that is exactly why I think the Spurs are the perfect comp. Sure, Jeff, what do you say?
Well, first off, y'all are very lucky to have gotten tickets to see it in 70 millimeter because every time I went, that one theater in New York City continues to be sold out because the cinephiles don't do nothing else but watch movies repeatedly and buy tickets and hoard tickets. I'm surprised they weren't on eBay or Amazon the way they were or StubHub the way they were going crazy. But yeah, I think that y'all make a fascinating comparison to Sinners, and also the fact that it's kind of come out of nowhere. Like, you have stars. You have no doubt about it, stars in the film. You have a star director. You have people who have been on a grand stage before. So it isn't like these are unknowns, but the combinations have popped up on us as, oh, wow, we really might be talking about a champion right now. It may be too soon. It may feel like there's more deserving teams to consider, but right now, I would be surprised, but I might not be as shocked if they took it. So given all of that, I do think that's a fair comparison.
And we could really take this further down the road, like Delroy Lindo, guy who's been in a ton of amazing movies throughout his career, finally got his nomination for Best Supporting for this. You could comp him to Harrison Barnes. Miles Caton, the kid who, like, talk about coming out of nowhere as the star of Sinners. He's like the Dylan Harper rookie season that people didn't expect it to be this good this fast. But at the same time, Sean, just to go back to what you said a minute ago, the Spurs could lose in the second round, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Sinners could walk out of Sunday night with like three Oscars. That's not off the table.
I'm kind of expecting that.
I would
like them to change my mind because I've seen this movie before, ironically.
Yes.
So ironically, I'm
looking at the Oscar nominees and I'm seeing a Guillermo del Toro movie that got nominated, Frankenstein.
We can get to that next. I have a comp for them.
Okay. Well, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I understand. I know what Frankenstein is about, and I hope he didn't. Well, I hope he didn't veer too much off of the story path.
So no, he didn't. It is actually one of the more faithful adaptations of the Shelley novel that has been made. He just did it with his typical Del Toro flair. My comp for Stein is actually the Houston Rockets with the Frankenstein. We're going to rehabilitate this old dead thing. And the dead thing turns around and kills everybody. And that's Kevin Durant, of course, because they went out and got 37-year-old NBA superstar, and he has yet again torpedoed another NBA franchise. The Rockets and Frankenstein are probably equally watchable. I didn't particularly love the Frankenstein movie, and I don't particularly love watching these Rockets, but yeah.
So two things. One, the reason why I brought up Frankenstein is because I saw a movie directed by Guillermo del Toro about a woman who falls in love with a manfish alien win Best Picture.
And has sex with the manfish alien.
Yes. And so I am prepared, to Jeff's point, for anything. I'm not saying that Sinners has to win Best Picture. Listen, I've only seen one of them. I'm actually going to try and watch a couple of them this week. But I'm prepared for anything. With that said, I think this is slightly unfair to the Rockets, because what really the beginning of the end of their season was before a game was played when Fred VanVleet tore his ACL. And then the end of the end was, well, I guess maybe you could say it because it's a, you know, Frankenstein and Steven Adams are very large human beings. And once Steven Adams, who does kill people on a regular basis on the basketball court when it comes to rebounding, once he was out for the year, and, you know, I've been consistent in saying that the Rockets were the Tom Thibodeau Knicks and Emil Doka is Tibbs in a 10-gallon hat. So I don't know how much I can blame Kevin Durant, but you know what? Jokes over facts. So let's run with it.
Okay. I think you guys will appreciate the next one. For Marty Supreme.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Please, yes.
Frankenstein needs guidance, and so do the Rockets offense. If Frankenstein had a point guard, he might have
been. Frankenstein or somebody to guide.
You know, like just like it, you put Frankenstein on the Justice League Dark with all the occult of heroes and vigilantes. He'll have more direction. He may be more contained. That's why I feel about the Rockets and their lack of creation.
I think the Frankenstein movie was kind of boring, which is like the Rockets offense is kind of boring because they don't have someone to lead them. No Fred VanVleet. Okay.
I've seen some videos on Alperen Şengün boy, we have a new contender for worst defending big man in the league. Y'all got to put some more respect on Cat's name because, my God, it was Hibachi last night.
And if Cat defended, like, all year, like he's been defending the last, like, since the All-Star break, basically, we'd be having very different conversations about Karl-Anthony Towns. I will second that. Put some respect on Cat's name. Okay, speaking of putting respect on someone's name, for Marty Supreme, I'm going with the Minnesota Timberwolves for two reasons. One, Anthony Edwards gave Timothy Chalamet the White Boy of the Year award. So that's an obvious comp. But I actually think there are some deeper connections between the Marty Supreme character and Anthony Edwards. They both have massive egos. They're both kind of a prick. And yet, they are undeniable, and you can't take your eyes off them. And more than that, you can't not root for them. It doesn't matter whether you're a Timberwolves fan or not. Very easy team to root for. The movie was not perfect, and I think the critical reception probably backed up as much, just like this Timberwolves team is not perfect. But it is very good, and the Timberwolves are very good. I don't think Marty Supreme is a real contender, you know, other than Timmy to win Best Actor. We'll see if that happens for him. But they're really good. It's a fun team, fun movie. So yeah, Jeff, you love Ant and the Timberwolves. So I'll let you vamp a little bit on
that. Yeah, no, I like that comparison, especially between Marty and Ant-Man. I think that makes a lot of sense. And where it's a one-star driven movie, where if you remove that star, do you really have a solid movie? I akin the Timberwolves to that.
That's a really good comp. And a lot of really fun, colorful supporting pieces in the Marty Supreme movie. Sean, I think you'd like Marty Supreme. I think you'd enjoy it.
I'm actually looking at the list. I used to religiously watch all the Oscar nominated movies, like that came out, and I go and I watch all of them. Well, just to see, you know, best actor, the actor, yeah, actress, sure, categories, and best picture.
Yeah.
And that's then I had, too. Yeah. And then I had a child, and then that became increasingly more difficult. But I usually watch them in order of nominations. Like, for example, like Sinners is nominated in Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. I was like, okay, sure, I can knock out three categories of one movie. And I see Maury Supreme got 9 nominations, tied with Fergus on a Sentimental Value. So that'll be high on my list. I'm going to try to watch one movie a day.
The only movie I am intending to watch this week that I have not seen yet is Sentimental Value. It's the one big one that I didn't get to check off. So sorry, I don't have a Sentimental Value comp. My next comp is a movie I'm fairly certain neither of you have seen. Have either of you guys seen the film If I Had Legs, I Would Kick You?
No.
No, sir.
Do you have any idea what this movie is?
Absolutely not.
It's awesome. I can't wait. So If I Had Legs, I Would Kick You is a movie about motherhood, parenthood, but motherhood in particular, and specifically how difficult it is to be a mom. And the mom is played by Rose Byrne, who I think still has an outside shot to take home Best Actress. We'll see. Another person that we're going to talk about in a bit has a clear lead in that category. And the whole movie is focused on her. Her face is literally on the screen 100% of the time. And she clearly loves her daughter. It's very clear that she loves her daughter. Her daughter has some serious issues that are not going away anytime soon. They will always be there. But there is no question that she loves her daughter. And yet, for much of the movie, it is this poor woman like crawling out of her own skin, trying to be anywhere other than where she has to be for her child. At one point, we find her sitting on a park bench drinking a bottle of wine that she has purchased at a motel gift store. So my comp for If I Had Legs, I Would Kick You is the Milwaukee Bucks, because watching Rose Byrne in this film, I was immediately transported to what the experience must be like for Giannis Antetokounmpo this year. So congratulations to the Bucks for
that's
and one of my favorite movies of the year, I will say.
That's insane.
So, well, honestly, listen, I think the foolishness of the season, I can absolutely see Giannis sitting on a bus bench drinking guzzling a bottle of Riesling. wondering how I can. Should I ask for a trade? Should I not ask for a trade? I should not know what to do, you know? Eh? Although then someone will remind him, like, you know, you could just put the bottle down anytime you want. He's like, yeah, you know, I could put down the bottle, but you know. So, yeah, I
that's an excellent comp.
Others see her in the film as the bad guy because they're like, you're a parent, you're doing such a shitty job, much like us with. So maybe the message is that we should have more grace for Giannis because we don't know what he's going through. Is that?
I mean, I kind of know what you're going through, fam. Unless there's something else that you're not telling us. It's like you work at a job that you want to leave, but you don't really want to put in your notice. So
they stink, by the way.
Yeah.
Yo,
they really stink. They're really bad.
When Bill ran off like their Bill Simmons ran off like their like how much they've been getting clapped by in the last couple of games, like I was like, Jesus, like they're getting destroyed.
I watched their next game after the Knicks loss, which of course I'm forgetting what game that was, but like I don't know. This is probably too hot of a take even for these airways. I think the other players are just completely sick of this whole thing. And Giannis coming back actually made them a worse team because I just think everybody's over it and nobody wants to deal with this anymore. But
they've
you don't talk about let go of the rope. They ain't no more rope.
The
rope is gone.
The dream of the Bucks getting to the eighth seed and knocking off the Pistons as put into the universe by one member of the Knicks film school faculty who I shall not name. I think that dream has died. I think it's safe to say we know all of the teams that will be playing postseason basketball in 2026.
Yeah. I think that's sucks because there's a month left.
We knew it for the West for a while, but now our only hope was for the Bucks to do something, and then you know.
And they're not going to do that. Yeah. Okay, next one's easy. Is doing the Charlotte Hornets for F1. Have you guys seen F1?
No,
I haven't seen it. I have an idea of what it is. I've heard it's good. That's one that I'm like one of the two that I want to see this week.
It is the most exhilarating time you will have at the movies this year, which is why I think the Hornets are an obvious one. But here's the other thing. Similar to Sinners, this movie was supposed to just be a fun action movie and all of a sudden got nominated for Best Picture, and now the Hornets are screwing around. Jeff, how seriously are you taking the Hornets?
Oh, they're dead serious to me. I think as far as if I was in the official State Farm playoff play-in tournament, like if I'm the Atlanta Hawks right now, I'm shook. I am shook. Like, I'm hoping that they can, like, I don't even know what you would hope. Maybe you hope that you move up to eight so that you have a one game opportunity to get out of the play-in before you have to see them Hornets. Like, they have confidence. Con Knipple is an absolute sniper. Like, this dude is very different when it comes to shooting beyond the arc. And they found an identity. They found something. They are the quintessential play-in tournament team. Yes. You're capturing the essence of what exhilarates you about March Madness, but you actually have professional shooting and not 19-year-olds who are throwing balls at the basket from three-quarters court and hoping to be a Cinderella team. So I would take them. If I'm in the Eastern Conference bracket, I'm taking them serious. I'm not overlooking them at all.
The fact that there is a like non-zero chance that the Magic and the Magic and the Sixers, neither of them make the 18 playoff field, that would mean that the Atlanta Hawks would be getting into the playoffs. I don't think that's happening. But there's going to be a couple of disappointing folks in the East. Sean, that's my question for you. Of the Pistons, Celtics, Knicks, and Cavs, I know you're not going to pick the Knicks. Who should be most worried about facing the Hornets in the first round?
Who should be the most worried? It's so cliche to say the Pistons, but I like when you started this, when you said like are you taking the Hornets serious? I said to myself, when you say serious, what exactly do you mean?
They could win the first round series.
They can't.
You don't think they can?
No.
I disagree. Jeff, we kind of talked about this last week. Jeff, what do you say? Can they win a first round series?
I think anything is possible, man. I think anything is possible. I think that if they catch the right team sleeping, right? So I'll tear it up for you. If it's the Celtics or the Knicks, the answer is no. If it's the Cavs, the answer should be no.
I didn't want to go there.
Pistons, and I'm sorry, I'm giving them the respect of a team that's the number one seed and has shown leaps and bounds. They have an all-NBA superstar MVP candidate player. I'm giving you all of that. But you all still have not won a playoff series since the Bush administration, right? Like, since 2008, you haven't won a playoff series. And if I have to hear about the Celtics being the favorite in the East because of their championship pedigree, then why is the opposite not also true? That you should have massive doubts about the Pistons because they don't have current playoff pedigree. I don't care how many spirits of the bad boys you invoke. I don't care if you have an altar to Zeke and Rick Mahorn. I don't care. You still got to win. They haven't won a home playoff game. All their games are on the road.
They haven't won a game, period, since March 1st. So probably should.
If the Hornets catch these dudes lacking, right, exactly. But the Hornets can catch a team lacking, and right now, if I had to talk about the team that I think they could catch lacking the most, it's probably the team that has not proven in this current era that they can win in the playoffs.
Of every potential playoff series.
That they can win a series in the playoffs.
Yeah. Of every potential first-round series we might get, and that includes – well, no, I guess I can't say. I'd be more excited for sure, Hornets, Pistons than I would like Nuggets.
That's got to be the series, especially because they have smoke with each other from earlier this season. That's like a quintessential first round matchup of teams that are like one that's an upstart and one that's established. Styles make fights, blah 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 blah.
Barring a potential Denver being the lower seed in the West first round, I don't think that there's a first round series I'd be more excited about than Hornets Pistons.
All right, the path to a Hornets beating the one seed Pistons is LaMelo is the best player in the series.
I don't think that necessarily needs to be true.
I think it needs to be true.
I think he needs to be good. I don't think the Hornets could win if LaMelo was like bad or maybe not even mediocre. Well, but then he needs to be the best guy in the series.
Someone has to. Well, a Hornet has to be the best guy in the series. Like a Hornet has to outplay Cade Cunningham.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not even sure if that's true because I think that's what makes the Hornets so strong is they have four real guys. Listen, when Miles Bridges, look, we don't have to get into the Miles Bridges of it all, so as Andrew would say, but like when Miles Bridges is your fourth most talented offensive player, that there's a reason why their offense is the best offense in the league since whatever date. Like, you know, and they don't really, here's the thing, they don't really defend. Guess what? You don't really need to be able to defend to stop the Pistons because Pistons' offense isn't that good.
That's the point. Then all of a sudden, if the Pistons look like world beaters offensively because you're not playing defense, because what do we say about the Pistons all the time? Like, they got one guy and everyone else, a lot of cutting and doing their job and playing their role in this and the third, right? And if you come across a team that's going to be not solid defensively, that makes it easier for those guys to play their roles. I mean,
like, they still got to hit shots.
I was about to say, you still got to hit shots. The Pistons outwork you. And guess who is a guy on the Hornets that no one in the league is going to outwork is their center.
I think we're drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit too much on Houston. I'm not Houston. On Charlotte.
We're definitely not drinking the Houston Kool-Aid.
Are they good? Yes. Are they much better since they were? Yes. But to what? I mean.
All right, well, listen.
I'm just talking possibilities, bro. Like, if they got swept, I wouldn't be surprised.
I would pick the Pistons in the series. But, like, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
I can't.
That Hornets going to seven.
I can't poo-poo the people sending the Spurs to the moon and then turn around and go to the Pistons and go to the Hornets and be like, oh yeah, but they could absolutely like if all I'm saying is if your first reasoning is anything can happen, then you don't really have a reason.
No, yeah, no, that's not. We'll have more time to talk about this. I would be excited about the matchup. We have four more comps to make, so we got to move on. Have either of you seen Weapons?
John, I haven't seen any of these movies. I haven't seen any of them.
I have to ask the question. So
I haven't seen it, but that's the other movie that I wanted to see.
Weapons is the most surprising movie of the year for me, which is why I'm giving it to Boston. The reason why I don't like giving it to Boston is Weapons is also the most fun I personally have had watching a movie this year, and certainly that would not be the case for me with the Celtics, but they are definitely surprising. And again, talk about a movie that was better than it had any right to be. So that's why I'm just going to give it to Boston. All right, we'll spend more time on the last three. I'll save my next one for the next to last one. Let's do Hamnet. Are you familiar with what Hamnet is about, either of you?
Is it related to Hamlet in any way, shape, or form?
It is. One of the main characters is indeed Hamlet.
Okay.
Or that's no, sorry, the guy who wrote Hamlet, Bill Shakespeare.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all.
I'm not, but it smells like Oscar bait. So I love to hear who you. I'm waiting for the team that's the Oscar bait of the NBA playoffs.
So here's the thing about Hamnet is it's good. I wouldn't say it's really good. It's good. It's a solid movie, but it's depressing as fuck. And the reason why it's depressing is there is an event that happens in the middle of the film that I'm not going to spoil, more less so for you guys and more so for anybody out there who has A, not seen Hamnet, and B, doesn't know the event that I'm talking about, even though it was like...
I just looked up the event is. I won't say anything, though.
Something happens in the film that should be a terrible thing. And it is a terrible thing. But after the terrible thing happens, there is a catharsis of sorts at the end of the movie, and you're supposed to feel like, oh, okay, they overcame this thing and it actually helped them come together and find some peace. And that's why I'm comping Hamnet to the Lakers, because I think if LeBron James just went away for the rest of the year, it would be painful because we would be losing maybe forever arguably the second greatest player of all time. But I think it would be good for the Lakers, because I think the Lakers are a better team without LeBron James, and I think we saw that play out against the Knicks yesterday.
I said, we all said this yesterday. I said, if LeBron plays that game, the Knicks win.
I would agree with that.
For reasons that, again, the ideal situation for LeBron would be like, okay, 41-year-old man, you're gonna set some screens. You hit some threes. You could be a release valve. Every so often, the second unit, you could run a second unit. You know, you could ratchet up here and there. But that's not going to happen in real life, right? So, I think that's good. That's a good comp. That's a good comp.
You know what the Lakers? You know why they won that game? Because they tried really, really hard and they defended well enough. And you know what LeBron James doesn't do? Try really hard and defend well enough. Sorry.
I knew they were going to try hard. I thought it was going to last
a half. It's so antithetical to his career, but I just think this is probably the first time I've watched LeBron James' team and said, where does he fit?
He doesn't. Did they need him on offense yesterday?
No.
They scored 110.
No, they scored 110, but there were moments that they were leaving the door wide open and rolling out the red carpet for the Knicks to come back. And you know, that's a good spot for a LaFuck You three to push the score a certain place. So I won't say it. I think that the roster construction was always shaky, but the minute they flipped Luka, the construction focal point changed from Bron to Luka. So now you're building a team without LeBron as the primary thought, but you don't have the complementary pieces that fully maximize what LeBron is about, because LeBron has been the system.
Yes.
Now y'all have two operating systems running on the same machine and they're competing for resources.
speaking of Frankenstein's monster, if any NBA team, if all NBA teams had the ability to combine like multiple of their players into one monster, I think that the Lakers would benefit from it the most. Cause like if they could combine like Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard, that's like the perfect fifth guy them. But they had to, meanwhile, they had Smart making all the hustle plays and they needed to take Smart off the floor late. Why? Because he couldn't hit a shot and the Knicks were leaving him open and it was making it impossible for them to score. And they put Luke Kennard on. But yeah, that's their issue. Okay. Two more. I didn't have a perfect Knicks comp. So I went with Avatar Fire and Ash, which is nominated for at least one Oscar. It has some below the line stuff, some visual stuff. Here's why. I watched this movie in the theater. I took my kids. Jeff, you want to talk about long movies?
Yeah, Avatars go long way.
Long. There are some set pieces in Avatar Fire and Ash, some moments, some visuals that are absolutely the most stunning things that you will see in a movie theater this year. At the highs, maybe higher than any other. When you add up all of the highs, it has like four or five really, really high moments, probably higher than any other movie I saw this year. And yet there are moments where it's like, this is kind of a drag and this is stupid. And this doesn't make nearly as much sense as it should. And there's a lot of wasted energy going on here. And given how much money went into this thing, it should probably be better than it is. But then you get another one of those moments and you're like, oh my God, James Cameron did it again. And you just wish it could last. So there's my next comp.
So here's something funny. I have a good comp movie-wise for them. I'm going to say Fantastic Four First Steps. And I'm going to say this because the second act of Fantastic... It's a good movie. I really enjoyed it. It's a great movie.
I enjoyed it.
The second act is one of the best second acts any movie that I've seen. Like, it's beautiful. When you talk about sci-fi movie, I'm talking you up there with Interstellar, you up there, just that second act alone. And you wonder why, if it was like a bar graph, it's like the second act hit the peak and then the third act and the first act were good. But you wonder, maybe it's a different combination of talent, maybe it's a different combination of narrative, but if you could take the second act and take the elements of the second act and deploy it in the first and the third act, you would have had something that was incredible. Yeah. And I liken that to this whole starting five debate. Maybe it's the personnel, maybe it's the maybe it's the scheme, maybe it's whatever, where the first act was effective. It started off effective, but it could have been even more maybe if there were elements from the second act that would have been in the first act to start it off. Maybe you would have been able to, maybe it would have went from great to oh my God. And I feel like that, and that might be a clunky narrative, but that's how I look at them. A movie where you're like, this movie is off the hook. But if they would have, maybe they had certain things in the movie that they could have accentuated as much to set it off, that would have took us on a even more incredible path.
Let me ask you guys both this. What made the original Black Panther, not Wakanda Forever, what made the original Black Panther electric for you guys? Because I have a very clear answer. I'm curious if it's the same.
Black superheroes? like
you said plural, right? So you're talking about Chadwick Boseman, and then who's the other guy that comes to mind when you think about that movie?
Well, Michael B. Jordan. He's not a hero in that, but
he's not a hero in the movie, but he's the other guy when you think of Black Panther, you think of those two guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when they were on screen together, it was your brain magic explodes, right?
Yes.
Pedro Pascal and Vanessa Kirby. I liked them both as their characters. Did they have great chemistry in your opinion, Jeff?
It just, you know what? It's like y'all are supposed to.
You should,
but
right?
I don't want to throw the believable word around, but it's almost like, how did y'all two get together? Now, I'm not going to derail, but there are, when you talk about the source material, when we talk about the comic book material, this is kind of the dynamic between them, where that's why you'll have guys like Namor come in and it's like, oh, them two should really be together. I don't know how this happened, right? But there's a way to even make the lack of chemistry believable. You know what I mean? Like it should come off screen that is the intention, but I don't know if that was the intention.
Here's the thing, though. You're trying to make it gritty. Just like with the Knicks, you're trying to make a great basketball team, and to make a great movie, ultimately, you kind of do need to have a certain amount of chemistry, even if in the source material, it is not the case. And I wonder if the Knicks are going to be able to get over the fact that, again, not saying like, you know, Kat and JB hate each other or not even that at this point that they can't play well together. They do. But is their chemistry going to be able to take them to the next level? I don't know. And also, what more comp for Fantastic Four? I think word of mouth did that movie in because there just wasn't a lot of buzz about it.
Mm.
Which is also crazy in its own right. Because you know what it was? A lot of it was, oh, I know that movie ain't going to be good.
Yep.
And then by the time people came out like, yo, you let these incels and these grifters sway you once again into believing that a movie wasn't going to be good. Because in this era, we don't look and read and watch and consume content on our own. You need a cosign. Everybody's a sheep, right? Yep. So it's like you allowed people, you had apprehensions. You allowed people who don't even have the clout to sway you. Yep. And then once you hear that it's good, oh, well, now you need Disney Plus to watch it. Now you got now it's out of theaters. And now it's not going to get the financial credit of, oh, this was actually good. I saw this with the Marvels. I saw this almost happened with Captain Marvel, but it was too much of a moment to derail it. I've seen it with a bunch of movies that if it would have got the buzz that it deserved, it would have been more commercially viable.
And what's the word on the Knicks? Wake me when they're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. I will say what did it do Fantastic Four any favors is that this is the third reboot of my life for this movie.
For this franchise,
For this franchise. And I think after a while, it's just like, all right, we're doing this again. All right. Okay. Like it's cause I mean, I think that didn't, like, it was easier to pile on because again, this is the, listen, I remember Michael B. Jordan as the Flash. And I remember,
Human Torch.
Human Torch.
Human Torch. I did Flash. Yeah, Human Torch. And I remember,
Keep it straight here.
Captain America. Like, so I think it was easy for the people to be like, all right, this is the money. You're doing this again. It's a money grab. People had already also been out on Marvel movies after Endgame and everything like that. To your point, Jeff, like, you know, the Marvels and all, and like, Legend of the Ten Rings. People are just like, all right, whatever. I'm over.
Put some respect on Shang-Chi's name. That movie rocked. That movie is the most underrated movie in the Marvel canon.
But it got such a bad rap.
And not to mention, it's the flirting versus harassment of reboots. Because how many Batmans has there been?
But you know what?
But it's Batman. But it's Batman, right? So it's like flirting.
They make a Superman.
Batman, Superman, whatever the case may be, but that's what it is. It's bravery. That's why anytime the league, they say the league is better when the Knicks are good, because every time the Knicks get rebooted, we ready for the new storyline.
you
the Knicks
the
are the Batman of the NBA.
They are.
The Batman franchise. Every time it's rebooted, we don't care. Like, we're ready. We're on deck. I'm trying
Let's
to
hope
see that.
Let's hope that Mike Brown is either Christopher Nolan or Tim Burton.
If Mike Brown was Christopher Nolan, would the starting five be the same that it is? Right?
He cast those movies so well.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Well, actually, hold on. To really bring the analogy home, Katie Holmes was in the first one. I shouldn't say this because I don't know the full story of why she wasn't brought back for the second one, but they went in a different direction because they're like, maybe this isn't working out. I didn't mind Katie Holmes. She was fine. Okay. Last one, probably obvious. One battle after another, Oklahoma City Thunder. The favorites, the obvious favorites. It was a favorite you could see coming a mile away. It made good on its promise. And in theory, nothing should be able to take it down. And yet, my favorite words in content creation. And yet, there are chinks in the armor. You know, whether it's from Sinners/San Antonio Spurs, whether it's from someone that might come up out of nowhere, although realistically, there's no one else that's going to take Best Picture from this other than Sinners. But still, like, we were thinking for a while this was going to be a cakewalk, and now we're sitting here, and for all the Paul Thomas Anderson and the Leo, and just, I mean, the best cast, probably top five, six that you're going to find in a movie, to say nothing of, like, the deep bench pieces that come off the bench in One Battle After Another and really add so much to it, it could lose. So let's end with this. Jeff, your confidence level that the Thunder repeat right now, today, March 9th.
I'm in the 90th percentile. Wow. I'm in the 90th. I'll say, and this is... I'm remembering my percentiles for a second, so I'm not... Well, first off,
90th is high.
I feel like the refs are the voters who didn't watch One Battle After Another, but hear the buzz, so they just throw their vote away. That's the refs. That's going to be the ref factor for One Battle After Another winning the Oscar. The other thing is, I'll go into, you know what? Now that I think about it, I'm like, well, what would need to happen? I believe that this is going to be one of the most intense representation of styles make fights in this season. This season, yeah. I was like, I can't say season. Yeah. This season of the NBA, this 25-26 season, I think styles make fights is going to be the theme. Like, with every team that's in, both in the East and the West, no matter who's better on paper, there are just a lot of, for all the talk about everybody quote-unquote plays the same, I think there's a lot of styles clashes throughout this entire playoffs that if the right team gets the wrong team, it could get interesting. The fact that the Spurs just know how to beat OKC, that takes down my confidence a bit. The fact that I do believe that the East, if not equal, is better than the West this year. I can argue we go to the top five teams. Three out of the five are not in the Western Conference. The more you keep expanding, the more the Western Conference looks funny in the light. So I believe that if Tatum is even 75% of old Tatum, it pains me to say it, but I'm keeping it real. Boston, with their experience and their style, they have a shot to beat OKC. I don't know if they play each other anymore. I feel like they have at least one more.
Who?
Boston versus OKC this season.
I'll check it out right now.
I don't think they've played. I can't remember if they've played.
I'll put it up on the, because Tankathon has the remaining strength of schedule.
Yeah, so.
OKC, Boston, they have both games left.
Yeah.
Yes, I knew it.
They haven't played. They haven't played yet, right? So we're going to find out about Boston.
Two OKC, one San Antonio, one Knicks, one Wolves, and then it goes down from there.
Right. So I think they can do it. You know, call me what you want. That game in MSG did make me a believer that they can hang with OKC. If you believe in the Cavs and the Pistons, whether or not they can do it, I mean, Pistons versus OKC kind of, I don't know, OKC had their B team out there and they were kind of struggling. Like, that was probably the beginning of this slide, but we just didn't see it yet because they ended up winning that game. That's probably like the first signs. So I do think OKC does not look as dominant as they did last season. Even with the record, they don't look as unbeatable as they did last season. So I'll go in like the high 80s.
Okay. Sean?
I will say, I want to go lower because I think this is more wide open than people think. To Jeff's point, styles always make fights, and I think these playoffs will be all about matchups. If I'm Denver, and if Denver gets to four and is healthy at four, now granted, we just saw...
Can I interject for one sec? You know who has the hardest remaining strength of schedule in the league?
Denver?
Yeah.
So then,
currently in sixth, and Jamal Murray turned his ankle, who's, I think he's questionable. Maybe for their next game.
He's being questionable.
I would say, because I'm just stuck on the whole. I just remember Jokic dragging that team to a seven game series against OKC last year. And listen, maybe Adam Silver won't allow, will tell Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, okay, instead of using a 2x4 to go upside Jokic's head, you know, just use maybe like just a really heavy book. Because if they're allowed to just club people the way they did last year, then, well, I said, you know, man, whatever.
Can I finish where you said, and I have one more thing to throw in there.
No, I just think, so if I'm going to give a number, if Jeff gave 75, I'll say 65.
Wow.
So the Thunder thus far this season have played 65 games. They've won, by the way, 8 of their last 9. They've played 65 games. Take a guess. How many starting lineups, different starting lineups they've used in those 65 games? Jeff, I'll go to you first.
I don't know.
I would have been very wrong if I didn't look at the answer. Let's be honest. I would have guessed probably something in the high.
State it again. Let me make sure I got your question.
How many different starting lineups the Thunder used played this season in 65 games?
15.
I would have said probably 16 or 17. Sean, what do you say?
I was going to say 12.
27. So for all we're talking about, oh, they're not this, that, and the other thing, they have had arguably, I would be shocked if there was another team in the league that has had 27 different starting lineups this year. I think they're going to be fine. I'm closer to where Jeff is, I think, at this point. I don't know. I'm not 90th or whatever. I'm probably more like 60s, somewhere in the 60s, maybe 70s, around there. That's where I think I'm at.
It's hard to repeat.
It's very hard to repeat.
The last time.
That's the other factor.
Yeah. The last time it happened with a team that did not have both Steph Curry and Kevin Durant on it was the Lakers 2009-10.
Yep.
And even that late in that game, far be it from me to give the Boston Celtics any credit, but if Kendrick Perkins does not tear his ACL in game 6, maybe they don't get destroyed on the boards like they did in game 7 and the Celtics win.
It's really, really. Oh wait, no, you forgot the Heat. The Heat repeated.
Oh, that's right. You're right. The Heat did repeat. Okay.
So the only teams that have repeated since the Kobe Gasol Lakers repeat 16, 17, whatever it is, years ago, were the two super teams that got us.
Two super teams, exactly. So, it's hard. It's hard to repeat. And we've had nine, I think it's 9 different champions in the last 9 years.
There hasn't been one since you said it, since KD and Steph, and that was, is that 8 years ago or 9 years, whatever it is, it's a while.
Yeah, 7 different champions the last 7 years. Now I would just take, like, basically, if you're telling me Oklahoma City versus the field, I'm always going to take the field, unless you have, you know, Steph and KD on your team, or you have LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. I'm going to take the field.
You're going to take the field. Mm-hmm. That is the question. OKC or the field? That's the question. Jeff, it sounds like you're taking OKC.
Now, if we go in the field, I'm taking the field. For sure. It's hard to repeat. It looks like they got a collision course with the Spurs. And I'm a person who believes a regular season does matter. And it's not so much that they went 1-4. It's that I think these Spurs, they're one of those young teams that believes, right? And I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Spurs get to face fully healthy OKC. Because I know they've had different lineups, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a different gear that the Spurs can't hit in the playoffs. But I just feel like it is. I think it's likelier that OKC loses in the finals than it does that they lose within their conference.
I think that would be defined as a hot take, and I agree with it.
I think it's likelier that they lose in the finals than the because it's once again, it's hard. And look, for all the talk about their domination, right? They went to seven with them Pacers.
Yeah, they did.
And there's a lot of folks who believe.
They went to seven. Hold on. They went to seven with the Nuggets.
They went to seven with the Nuggets. They went to seven with the Pacers. There's a lot of people who believe if Hallie doesn't tear his Achilles, the way that game was going, the Pacers might be world champions. And let's not forget that they put Nikola Jokic in the elimination chamber seven games. And it still went to seven games. I haven't seen a dude get beat that bad since the UFC.
Yo, they had him in $1 million. They had him in $1 million dream for seven games.
Bro, and they still took him to seven games. So I don't know, man. I would not be shocked. I think the conference finals is their floor. I don't think that's hot, but I think the conference finals is their floor because I don't think the seeding is gonna rearrange too much.
I can't even
past the top two.
I don't even know if I can say that because again, who knows where some of these other teams are gonna. The reason why I love that take and get out of here after this about they're more likely to lose in the finals than they are to lose in the West playoffs is because all of these vaunted West teams you could pick a hole in. The Rockets season has not gone as according to plan. The Lakers season has not gone according to plan. The Wolves are dangerous, but we call them dangerous as opposed to something more complimentary because they always seem to fuck it up in like a big moment or another. What did Zach and Simmons say about Denver this year? It's the it ain't their year.
Yeah,
that's I love that, and I kind of agree with that. And what team I'm forgetting? Oh, the Spurs. Sean, I'm buying everything you were selling at the top of the show. They're too young. They're too inexperienced. I don't think they don't have it in them to actually take down the Thunder in a seven game series. I just don't. Meanwhile, if you get whoever, I don't know who they're going to face in the final, if they get to the finals, but that team, you better believe whatever East team makes the freaking East finals. This ain't, what were those years where LeBron beat the fucking Raptors as the, this ain't one of those years.
It's a gauntlet. No,
it is a legit that will be an achievement. That will be a real team. You are not going to luck your way into the NBA Finals from either conference.
You just have to hope you get out of the East healthy.
Yes.
Honestly, depending on who your matchup is, you got to hope you get out of there healthy.
I completely agree. Yeah. No, it's something to look forward to. Hey, listen, guys, the freaking regular season ends
in a month,
like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. August, I think 12th or something like that.
Yeah. April 12th. Yeah.
April 12th. That's what I meant. Well, we will have lots to talk about over that time. And then, of course, once the playoffs get going, last words, guys. Jeff, last thing from you.
Looking forward to catching up on these movies so I can be irrationally rational for the Oscars.
If you're really invested in the success of Sinners, which it sounds like you are, I would strongly recommend you watch one battle after another.
Oh no. I've heard discourse both ways about it, which is why I really got to sit down and watch it because I need to see where I fall in it. Like for all intents and purposes, I've heard that for a variety of reasons, that's the front runner. So like I said, I'm not going to be surprised if they do win, but I like to experience it for myself so that I know why.
I don't think it's a perfect movie. But I think you should watch it. And I'll just leave it at that. Sean, last word from you.
If I were to, if you gave me, some money and said, you have to bet on one team to win the Western Conference, and obviously I'm taking into account odds and value and things of that nature, I'm looking at what our friends at Fanatic Sportsbook have, I would bet that money. If you gave me $20, I would bet that money on the Minnesota Timberwolves at 18-1.
They're 18-1 right now?
Yes. And I think it's ridiculous that the two-time Western Conference finalists are just being completely ignored. At 18-1 is like they have worse odds than the Rockets. And none of us believe
in
the Rockets.
That's very silly.
Exactly.
That's extremely silly.
I may have to make a bet.
18-1?
18-1. And they're the 3 seed right now.
That's nuts.
Like 18-1. So they get If they get Denver round one, that's a great matchup for them because they match up well with Denver.
I don't know if anybody Jokic in round one is a great matchup for anyone.
That's the team Denver, Minnesota is the team Denver wants to see the least.
Well, other than Oklahoma City, probably.
No, they're probably like, I think they're saying to themselves, you know what? Now that if we're healthy and we're a better team than last year, we could beat Oklahoma City. Minnesota is a team they don't want to deal with. If they could choose, who can we not play? Them. And then, all right, let's say they're the three seed. They get the three, and then they get the Spurs. And we just talked about the two young. And now here I am against Oklahoma City. And again, see, I'm a big believer in when you win a playoff series, you have the best player in the series, or you have the player who outplays the best player. For example, 2011 NBA Finals. Yeah. LeBron is better than Dirk, but Dirk outplayed LeBron.
And could be better than SGA in a series.
Absolutely. But then again, you know, people look at, you know, there's also people hate Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert. So teams will be Julius Randle. But then again, I saw a Luka team make the finals depending on PJ Washington. And I mean, obviously they had Kyrie, but
18 to 1.
That's a ridiculous number for the two-time defending Western Conference finalists. 18 to 1.
Two-time defense. That's not a real thing.
But they made the conference finals 2 years in a row. And just I got to hear.
I'm Western Conference finals.
You're not defending. Two-time
shit.
Western Conference. The two-time back-to-back
Western Conference finalists.
And I'm supposed to believe that this is where I think the hyperbole goes too far by certain teams. Again, I do not believe a team's going to go from not making the playoffs to winning the Western Conference. So I wish our friends at Fanatics had props on how many series they could win because I would absolutely bet them to make the West Finals.
That would be a good bet. Ben with a good comment to finish us off. Very hard to be better than SGA and Zebra Pack.
That is factually correct. Yeah, that's a good call out.
Yeah,
that's
SGA and the Zebras are going to go crazy this playoff.
Undefeated. It's a good combination. All right. That's it. We're going to get out of here. Thank you guys. And also one more time, in case I haven't said it enough yet. Great job with the watch party yesterday. And if anybody out there is watching right now or listening, and you came out, thanks for coming out. If you missed this one, come to the next one because there'll be more at some point this season. And keep an eye out for those events and details. But for now, on behalf of Sean and Jeff, I am Jonathan Macri, and we will be back with more fun and games very soon. Peace out.